The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Successful people can be at the top of their game in the business world and as parents, but it can sometimes be difficult to stay above it all. Now it's time to learn from an entrepreneur who has made this a reality. Welcome to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood, hosted by Chris Efesiou. Chris and his guests will share ideas and experiences to help you manage your life in business and as a parent. Now, here's Chris Efesiou.
Now more than ever, the importance of sense of purpose in finding happiness in life and work is on everyone's mind. Research shows that people are most energized and engaged when they are using their strengths for a bigger purpose, a purpose beyond themselves. But how do you keep people committed and passionate about the work they do? What are the essential principles to help you and your organization work with more passion and purpose? John Gordon, author of The Seed, Finding Purpose and Happiness in Life and Work, will explain all that. This is Straight Up with Chris, real talk for business and parenthood, broadcasting live from Washington, D.C. I'm Chris Efesiou. John Gordon is a best-selling author, keynote speaker, and CEO of John Gordon Companies. He and his training consulting company are passionate about developing positive leaders, organizations, and teams. John's best-selling books and talks have inspired readers and audiences around the world. His principles have been put to the test by numerous NFL, NBA, and college coaches and teams, Fortune 500 companies, school districts, hospitals, and nonprofits. He is the author of the Wall Street Journal bestseller, The Energy Bus, The No Complaining Rule, Training Camp, The Shark and the Goldfish, Soup, The Seed, and his latest, The Positive Dog. John and his tips have been featured on The Today Show, CNN, Fox and Friends, and in numerous magazines and newspapers, and it is indeed my pleasure to have him as my guest today. John, welcome.
Well, thanks, Chris. I'm honored to be on your show. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. John, for the benefit of our listeners, may I ask you to set the stage as to your background, activities, what you do, and what brings you here today as the author of several books, a keynote speaker, a trainer, a coach?
Sure. I write books about leadership, about building positive organizations, building great cultures where employees thrive, where they build great teams and then ultimately provide great service and products to customers. So it's all about leadership and culture and winning teams and engaged people. So I think about that all the time, and that's what I write about. My books are fables. They're stories about people and about life and about organizations and about just getting better every day. So I write these kind of fables that then share lessons with people on different principles of business. So each book is different. I've written The Energy Bus, which is the most popular book I've written, which is about getting your team on the bus and moving in the right direction with a shared vision, focus, and purpose. There's 10 rules for the ride of your life to build a very positive life, a positive career, and a positive organization. And then I've written the book Soup, which is about building a culture of greatness and what that means and what a culture is all about. And so every book has a different principle. Every book has a different theme, a different idea. And then there's usually lessons in the books. And so I write, and then I would consider myself a speaker second. I speak on what I write about, and so people read the books, and then they ask me to come speak to their organizations on what I write about. I work with a lot of sports teams as well, and I love working with different sports teams like the Atlanta Falcons this year. I've worked with the Georgia Bulldogs, the college football team, Florida Gators, Oklahoma City Thunder basketball team, Clemson University football, and then numerous women's basketball teams recently, which has been a lot of fun as well.
Fascinating and impressive. It has always been my belief that leadership starts at the cognitive level, and it begins at home. And you cannot teach leadership unless you can lead yourself. And whether or not you consider yourself a leader, others may consider you a leader if that is what you're exuding. So The Seed is one of seven books. I like to start there, but I will say for the benefit of the listeners that many of John's books, the characters in the books as well as the themes of the books are interrelated. So you will begin to understand a theme that carries through, and that of course is none other than leadership and positive energy, positive views and the like.
Yes.
So The Seed is one of seven books, I believe, you authored, correct?
Yes, well, eight just came out with the Energy Bus for Kids, so it was my first children's book. And then a new book, number nine, was One Word That Will Change Your Life, that I just wrote with a few other people. But yes, so seven was The Seed. You got it.
Okay. So what motivated you to put pen to paper, or fingers to keyboard, as it were, to write this particular book, The Seed, which is it almost reads like a story, like a fable, but it really isn't. And I believe that listeners will immediately catch on to what it really is about when you explain it some.
Yes, well, it's my wife's favorite book that I've written. She just absolutely loves it. And I think it's one of the books that I've written that really touches people the most deeply. And it's about the journey that we all have to go on to find and live and share our purpose. I really believe that there's a purpose that each one of us is meant to share. And if you start searching for your purpose, I believe you will find it. There is a purpose to be found. And many people are working every day with no purpose. The research shows that more people die Monday morning at 9 a.m. than any other time. People would rather die than go to work. And so they've lost a sense of purpose. We know people are burned out. They're disengaged in their jobs, because they've lost a sense of purpose, or maybe they just don't even have a sense of purpose. And so what this book is all about is, how can we work with more purpose? How can we work with more passion? How can we create organizations that are full of people who are alive and passionate and purposeful about what they do? We know that when a company is purposeful and when someone is purposeful, they are more energized. People are most energized when they're using their strengths and their gifts for a bigger purpose beyond themselves. And so this book really brings to light those questions. How do we find our purpose? How do we live it? How do we share it? And it's so elusive. How do we make it a part of our everyday life?
In John's Facebook page, there is a poster that kind of encompasses it all. Man stands at the top of a clearing, facing mountains and the rising sun, arms wide open, and it says, "I believe I'm here for a reason, and my purpose is greater than my challenges." And that is one of the most true and inspiring statements I have read in quite some time, and I duly shared that on my Facebook page, John.
Oh, so. thank you for doing that. It's really near and dear to my heart to say that, because when I look back, my first book, The Energy Bus, was rejected by 37 publishers. Once it finally was accepted, the bookstores wouldn't carry it. So I had to go on a 28-city tour, city to city, to share the message in the book. I had 10 people in some cities. I had 20 people in other cities. But I was passionate and purposeful about the message. I really had a purpose that I wanted to make a difference, that I wanted to bring positive energy to people, to organizations, and to also help them overcome the negativity that sabotages us. It was my own journey from being a negative person to want to be more positive. The main character, George, in The Energy Bus was based on me. And so I really believe our purpose must be greater than our challenges to go after our dreams, to achieve whatever it is we're meant to achieve. And if it's not, you'll give up, because once the challenge is hit, once the obstacles hit, if you don't have a purpose for why you're doing it, you'll just give up, you'll stop. But with me, every rejection was met with a greater purpose to keep going. And I ultimately believe that this book and my other books have taken off because I was able to overcome those challenges because I had a purpose. See, we think, you know, it's just about positive thinking. No, it can't just be about positive thinking. It can't just be about positivity, because there will be days when we don't feel very positive. That is where we need a purpose to give us something to be positive about. And if we have that purpose that generates the optimism, that's what creates success in the long run.
Did you have a sales background? Because for it takes a very special person to have been turned down several times, as 37, I believe you mentioned, from a publisher, and still keep going. And then once the book was published, bookstores will not carry it. It's not thick skinned. It's well beyond that.
Yes, it was a really a deep sense of purpose, and a commitment, I guess, to myself to want to be to make something of what I've created. So to think it's valuable, to think it's worthy, I guess there's a sense of feeling that it's worthy to be put out there. But I think even as a young person, I was always a salesperson. I was always selling when I was young. When I was in college, you know, I started a business of just a cleaning service and actually sold that. Then I, at 24, I opened up a restaurant in Atlanta at the age of 24 and actually met my wife as she was walking by the building and had to try to sell her on going out with me. She said no a bunch of times, so I was very persistent there and had to sell her. I say it was love at first sight for me. For her, it took a few years. So that was something that I think I was selling even then. And then I guess with the restaurants, I really learned a lot about sales and marketing, because I had started places that no one ever heard of, and from the ground up, you had to build a business. And then I moved to Jacksonville from Atlanta with my wife and kids. My kids were only 3 years old and 1 year old. They were young. I was young. I was probably about 30 years old. And then at that point, I started the Moe's Southwest Grills franchises in Jacksonville. So I was the first Moe's in Florida, a brand that no one had heard of, only 6 stores in the entire country. Now there's over 300 of them, but I had to begin that as well. So I marketed that and really built that up, and then was able to sell those as I knew that writing and speaking was really what I wanted to focus on, and started doing that, knowing that, you know, after we sold the restaurants, that this was just an unknown future, but it was something I felt strong about and something I believed in. So that's what started that process. So I guess in some ways, yes, it was always about sales and marketing.
I want to ask you about a comment you just made, that you always knew you wanted to write and speak, but I'm going to take your answer at the other side of the break. My guest is John Gordon, and this is Straight Up with Chris, real talk from business and parenthood. I'm Chris Afasiou. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Efesiou understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Tune in to Patricia Raskin Positive Living on VoiceAmerica.com every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Time. This program brings you practical and inspiring principles for living a more authentic, engaging, and passionate life. Patricia's guests will give you a formula for connecting, giving, forgiving, and miraculous living. So tune in and call in to Patricia Raskin Positive Living Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Voice America Variety Channel. It's practical, positive solutions for a happy, empowered, and successful life. Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Efesiou. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. For information on this program and other activities, please visit my website, chrisefesiou.com or cdochiefdaddyofficer.com. My Facebook page is Chris Efesiou, and on Twitter, I'm Chief Daddy Officer. Throughout this hour, I look forward to hearing your questions. Call us at 1-866-472-5788 or email your questions to chris@straightupwithchris.com. I'm Chris Efesiou. My guest is John Gordon. Please visit his website, johngordon.com. That is J-O-N, no H, .com. His Facebook page is John Gordon, and on Twitter, he is @JohnGordon11. Before we went on break, John made a comment that I absolutely identified with, and he said that he always knew that he wanted to write. And since that kind of blood was running in my veins as well, what made you want to write? When did you know that you wanted to write?
When I was in a dot-com job in business development in Atlanta. I had sold my restaurant in Atlanta and was in a dot-com job. I was in director of business development. I was sitting at my desk, and instead of, say, working on deals, I started to write different thoughts and ideas about businesses, about topics, about principles. I was watching a company being run that was not being run the right way. I guess I would say I was disengaged. I didn't feel like I was included in the process. And I became disenchanted, and that made me start writing, actually. And I would say that's when I knew I wanted to really write. Before then, I would read books like Richard Bach, Jonathan Livingston Siegel, and Illusions in my 20s, and different authors, you know, inspired me. And so when I read those books, I would get the inkling that I wanted to write as well. But it wasn't until around that time, I would say about 28, 29, that I said, you know what, I want to write.
Yeah. And it is a defining moment when you do that, because you cannot write until you decide you're going to write. And then you put yourself mentally at that level.
Everyone says they want to write a book. I have this book I want to write. I want to write a book. And I always say, so sit down and start writing it. Stephen King wrote a great book called On Writing, and he says, writers write. And so if you are a writer, then you will sit down each day, and you will take time each day, even if it's for a half an hour or an hour, and you'll take the same time every day, and you will write. And that's what writers do. And so if you want to write, you must write. If you want to paint, you must paint. If you want to sell, then you must sell. But writers write.
John Grisham said that his average book is 365 pages, and that means one page a day.
That's great.
And he gets up every day and writes one page a day, on average, of course.
That's great.
But it is, again, to the very same vein of what you said. Writers write. You can't talk the talk without walking the walk, so to speak.
Mm.
We have a question from one of our listeners. Comes from Debbie from Detroit, Michigan. It says, it all sounds wonderful, but how do you promote a sense of purpose with your employees and change the culture?
So how do you promote a sense of purpose? Well, you have to have a bigger, noble purpose for what you do with your organization. So it all depends on what that is, but it's coming up with that bigger purpose for why you exist. Why are we here? How can you improve the world? How can you improve your community? How can you improve the marketplace? Whatever it may be, it's about finding that bigger purpose. You know, IBM says, let's build a smarter planet. So they rallied everyone around the idea of let's build a smarter planet. Before it was an advertising campaign, it was an internal rallying cry. And that ignited people. Then you can have schools and teachers. You know, you're not just there to teach kids on a daily basis, but you're there to develop champions. You're there to help kids become all that meant to be. I know some schools that say we prepare kids for the future, to be future leaders, to go to college. And that is more of a noble purpose than say, yeah, we're just going to teach kids so they can do well in that standardized test that we have. So it's about, you can focus on a goal or a number, or you can focus on a bigger purpose for why you do what you do. I met a mortgage broker who told me that she sees her job as saving marriages, because if she can help people keep their homes, they'll keep their marriage intact. And the research shows that to be true in the last few years of this economy. So every one of us can find that bigger purpose for why we do what we do. But I believe as a leader, it's to have a vision of where you're going in the organization. It's to have that bigger purpose, and then to invite people on that bus with you to buy into it. Or it's to help each person realize their purpose within their jobs. You know, your job may not be your ultimate purpose, but it can be a vehicle for you to live and share your purpose each day. So even the person at the Delta Crown Room who I met who was serving said that she sees her job as to serve and to brighten these people's day who are coming in and frustrated with the airlines, frustrated with delays, frustrated with all the challenges of travel. And if she can make them smile, she'll help them be a little happier, be a little nicer to others. And that's the way she sees that she's contributing to the world.
And those are individuals, obviously, who on a one-off basis, they are saying, "This is, I see my job as saving marriages by keeping people at their home, serving people by making their life easy at the airport, and so on and so forth." But how do we keep people committed and passionate about right. the work we do as an organization?
Well, Apple is a great example. Apple is not just about making iPads and iPods and iPhones. Apple says that they're clearly about enriching people's lives. They're about enriching people's lives. And they see technology as a way that they're enriching people's lives. So as a company, they say, we are here to enrich people's lives. Then once you know what you stand for, you then could hire people that believe in that. You hire people who live that. And then everything you do, if it's real, and it's really about enriching people's lives, everything you do will be about creating products, campaigns, and services that enrich people's lives, if that is what your purpose is. So that's how the culture forms. You have this purpose, you then share it, you then nourish people to live it and to breathe it, and it becomes a part of what they do. So it's essential to have a mission. It's essential to have that vision of where you're going, to have it clearly stated. It's essential to reinforce it throughout the year. It's essential to know what you stand for as an organization. It's essential to go through what our values are and then actually live and breathe them. See, you can have great values, but if no one lives and breathes them, then they don't do any good. And I often say that, you know, a mission statement doesn't do any good if you don't have people who are on a mission. So you need a great mission statement, but you also need to support and encourage and inspire the people to be on a mission. So that comes from leadership. It comes from leadership. It comes from identifying what the culture is all about. That's where Soup, my book Soup, clearly goes into the process of that whole process. And we would take a couple hour seminar to really talk about it, and in a keynote I can do it. And that's what I do a lot of my keynotes. I actually share in my keynotes how to do it, how to actually do it step by step. But Soup is definitely the element to do that, the book that would be all about that. And then the seed is really how I would weave the seed into Soup and have the seed really talk about the purpose component of it.
Fascinating. So there is clearly, as I said earlier, interrelation and interconnection between characters and between themes. And, yeah. And of course, there is this positive energy, positive thinking, fueling the energy bus. And that is clearly at the center of the thought process. And now you transfer that to the children's energy bus.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, before I go into that, Chris, one other idea just came to mind and that's General Motors. General Motors really has turned around their culture to answer that woman's question even further. And their mission statement to change the culture was to design, build, and sell the world's best vehicles. And so that became their mantra, their focus, their vision. And so as a culture, they are now focused on that. And everything they do is in alignment with that vision and that mission. And that begins to change the culture, and it begins to change the mindset and the focus and the purpose of everyone in the organization. So I just wanted to say that. Now, to answer your question about the children's book, I was speaking to a lot of schools about the energy bus and working with a lot of schools with Soup and the Seed about creating a great culture in your school, a culture that is purpose-driven, a culture that is positive, a culture that is considered great, that focuses on high expectations, and really where teachers will challenge themselves and challenge each other to be their best, and where students are challenged to learn and grow. So I've been working with schools a lot over the last number of years and really having a big impact in schools. And it's one of the most rewarding things that I do, the thing that I love, that I never planned on doing. It just sort of found me, and schools started calling, and I started working with them, and I started to help them, and I started to see them being impacted, and then more schools called. And so I work with a lot of schools around the country and a lot of principals, a lot of school districts. And so we had a lot of requests for the energy bus for kids for the schools, because they all were using the energy bus for their teachers. But it's such a great analogy and a great message. They said, hey, how about a kid's book? And I kept on getting requests for that. So I finally got the courage to write a children's book. And, you know, it's amazing. Kids up to 10 and 11 years old have read the adult version because it's real simple. 12-year-olds have done reports for their middle school. I've received a lot of those. And yet adults also have told me that they really enjoy the kids' version, that they get a lot out of that as well.
Absolutely.
So I think the principles are very universal.
Let's talk more about that with John Gordon. This is Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. I'm Chris Efesio. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Epicu. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. My guest is John Gordon. Please visit his website, johngordon.com, his Facebook page, John Gordon. His Twitter handle is @johngordon11. And again, this is John without the H. We were talking about the energy buzz for kids. Kids love it. Parents love it. Kids love the parent version. Parents love the kid version. It's all good. And so, was happening and we were talking, we've gotten a couple more questions from our listeners. Thank you very much for sending those. Please keep sending those by email to chris@straightupwithchris.com or call us at 1-866-472-5788. This comes from Elliot in Raleigh, North Carolina. It says, John, I agree with you that we all need to be happy and have a sense of purpose. As a parent, I would like to know how to instill this in my children.
It's an important message that I share in The Seed, and it is to just start serving in small ways. I have found that when you serve in small ways, you get more opportunity to serve in bigger ways. So we find our purpose, or our purpose finds us, when we start being used for a purpose, when we start making a difference, when we start living life on purpose, our purpose then starts to come and live through us. So the minute you start making a difference, the minute you start serving, the minute you start helping others, you then become that seed. See, the whole analogy of the seed is that the seed must plant itself in order to grow into what it's meant to be. And you must plant yourself where you are and decide to serve and make a difference where you are. So wherever you are, you serve. And when you do that, like the seed, you will grow into what you're meant to be. And when you do, ultimately you'll produce a harvest. And so there are four stages of purpose that we all go through. Every child will go through it. Every person will go through it if you're open to your purpose. If you search for it, you'll go through these four stages. And I really can't share what they are because that's what the book's all about. That's the story. That's the lesson. But I can say that part of that, one of the stages is the planting stage. And the planting stage is where you can teach your children to just plant yourself, make a difference, serve. And that's how they begin to find their purpose. I would also tell children, and I would tell this to adults, and I tell it to adults all the time, is to don't chase success. Just decide to make a difference, and success will find you. I even say don't seek happiness. Everyone's searching for happiness. No. Happiness is a byproduct of those who live with passion and purpose. So just be purposeful. full about what you're doing. Be passionate about what you're doing, whatever it may be. And so don't seek happiness. Decide to work with passion and purpose, and happiness definitely will find you. So no matter what you're doing, try to bring a passion to it. Try to bring meaning to it. Try to be the best you can be at it. Try to serve and help others, whatever you're doing. And if you do that, I'm really confident your purpose starts to live through you. You become a conduit for the purpose that wants to move through you.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, ambivalence has no play here.
No, if you're apathetic, if you're indifferent, if you're negative, you're not someone that will be able to be used for the purpose. And I know, because I was negative, and I was miserable, and I was unhappy, and I thought that my life wasn't good because it was everyone else's fault. And only when I started to become open, only when I started to take responsibility for my own life, only when I became the driver of my own bus, and I started to be open to that, and I actually started to pray a lot, and I started to surrender a lot, and that's where my purpose found me. See, I did include a spiritual element in the book because I believe there has to be a spiritual element, because I believe we were created for a purpose. And you can't know your purpose without a relationship with the one who created you for a purpose. So I believe we're here for a reason. We're not here by accident. And once you're open to whatever that reason may be, that's when your purpose starts to find you.
Very true. You spoke earlier that research shows that people who are most energized and engaged, that they're using their strengths for the bigger purpose beyond themselves.
Yes.
Tell us about that research.
Well, that's Martin Seligman's research, and he wrote a great book called Authentic Happiness. He's the grandfather of the positive psychology movement, and they just have done a lot of research on what inspires people, what motivates them. And again, it's using the strengths, using the gifts, for something beyond your own self-interest. And if you find people who are just really out for themselves, then really not very happy. And you meet people who are all about service and all about helping, all about making a difference. They wake up every day with excitement and passion to begin the day. See, I don't believe, you know, work makes us tired. I believe a bad attitude about our work makes us tired.
Amen to that.
Yeah, so we have people doing a job where they're sitting around all the day, and yet they are miserable and exhausted. And then you have people who are busy as can be, doing so much, and yet they feel energized. Why? Because they feel like they're on a mission. They feel like they're doing something they love, and they're very purposeful about it. So it's not the job you do. It's the purpose you bring to it that matters. And if you're not happy with your job, you have a choice. You can change your job or change your attitude about your job. And I have a great story on this. I mean, I saw it firsthand. My wife's friend, Rachel, and she allows me to share the story. She was miserable in her job, and she was complaining all the time. And I remember I was at a party with her and my wife, and she knows what I do, and she read the Energy Bus, and she wouldn't stop complaining about her bosses, about the new rules, about the new compliance, and how they were just being so unyielding on everything, and she was just miserable. I said, listen, Rachel, you know, you have a choice. You could stop complaining or just get a new job, but just whatever you're doing, you're making me miserable right now. You're making everyone miserable. It's not doing any good, and you're making yourself miserable. So she walked away all mad. She wouldn't talk to me for a few months, and we saw her again about 3 months later, and she said, John, I got to tell you, I was really angry after you said that to me, but I really started to think about what you said. I took your advice. I started just being positive every day, going to work, just staying positive. And sure enough, my sales are up 30%. Well, I saw her at the end of that year. Her sales were up 70%. We hadn't spoken in a while, and we ran into each other at the grocery store. It has been several years. I didn't even know this. She is now in her dream job at The Knot. It's the online wedding site. Yep. She's in her dream job in the luxury division, and she's been promoted twice to that job. And she credits it all with just deciding to plant herself each day, staying positive and passionate and purposeful, and not allowing all the stuff around her and all that stupid stuff that we allow to drain our energy. She started just focusing on what she loved about her job each day, and all of a sudden she's now in her dream job.
Without question. I mean, business people tend to understand that. fairly well, because there's no way you can produce something worth its weight if you are negative about it, if you're complaining about it, because if you're in any kind of position of responsibility, you likely have people reporting to you, and of course you report to someone. Now, if you are not a positive person, which doesn't necessarily mean a negative person, but more often than not it does, those downstream from you are going to imitate your example, because they want to please the boss, much like a child wants to please the parent. So of course, there's always exceptions, but I don't believe that you're going to find a positive child in a household where parents are negative. Mm-hmm. Nor are you likely to find positive employees, direct reports to an individual who, for whom a sunny day could be a better day, for whom nothing is ever good enough. You know, it could always be better, it could always be bigger. And could it? Yes, of course. But that doesn't mean that what you have here and now is not good enough. And whether or not it gets from good to better, it's entirely up to you and whatever it is in between your ears, because that is where the energy is to drive it. Mm. I'm not putting words in your mouth. This is just I'm pontificating now. So the significance of this research and the essential principles to help your team and organization work with more passion, obviously, they play throughout your books in all kinds of different ways. And I have noticed that even though your books are not novels and they're not how-to books, they all contain actionable plans that a reader can review and apply to their own situation. As a matter of fact, in your website, you have, in just about every book that I can recall, you have something that's downloadable that somebody can just bring it and put it into action. Is it really that simple? Can it really be cascaded down to a few pages and say, this 5, 10, 20 pages are going to change your life?
Yes. We make things so complicated, I found, that I really believe it is simple. I think that's what has been effective about my work and what I keep hearing from people is they say, John, you do make it simple. Some think too simple. They think it has to be complicated. But those who really embrace it and they try it, they realize, oh, it's simple and I can do it. And we could talk more about it, I guess, after the break.
That's wonderful. And a very nice out cue for us. My guest is John Gordon. This is Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood. I'm Chris Efesiou. We'll be back in a moment.
News, opinion, passion. Hear me. Your voice counts. Call toll free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Efesiou understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America. Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris. Real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Efesiou. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Efesiou. My guest is John Gordon. His website is johngordon.com, Facebook page, John Gordon. Twitter handle, @JohnGordon11. Before we went on break, we're talking about the tendency that many of us have to do to make simple things complicated. And John has actually created almost like a handout, a downloadable guide attached to almost every one of his books that give you actions or actionable information about what it is that you can do to actually create change. And John, you were saying that we tend to make things more difficult than
we
than
do
they need to be.
Right. It's really about doing the simple things on a daily basis that leads to accomplishment, that leads to success. So if you can do two or three key things as a manager, two or three key things as a leader, two or three things key as a salesperson, key things as a parent, and you focus on those things day in and day out, that's the key to success. So it's really about identifying what are the important principles, the important actions that we must take, and then once you take them, you start to see results. So what I do is, you know, in the stories, people say, wow, you made it so simple. I felt like I can actually do it. Most stuff I don't feel like I can do, and it's all complicated, so I don't do anything. But you made it simple. I take action, and then I realize, wow, I see the powerful results from these little things. For instance, a manager meeting with their team and just taking the time to meet, you know, 5 minutes with each employee. 5 minutes once a week produces such amazing communication and connection and results in the long term that doing that on a weekly basis or even a monthly basis has a powerful impact. So it's these little things that we do from a communication standpoint, from a leadership standpoint, that have such an impact. You know, a ritual every night with our kids, you know, just going to bed and saying a prayer before bed and asking them their success of the day, just something like that has a big impact on the kids' mindset and on how they feel going to bed and also how they wake up.
Without question. And it also, again, starts with you because everything tends to flow downstream. As I said earlier, whether you're a supervisor or a manager at the office, your employees would kind of look up to you and gauge all good and bad things, you know, based on your own views, opinions, and attitudes. Children do the same thing. And whatever it is that is inside your head is what will guide you to either the good place or the not so good place. And you have to know what's important to you and then drive it accordingly. One of the things that I found most impressive that I read on one of your tweets for the benefit of our listeners, it goes like this. A TV exec I met on a plane said I needed to take the next step to be a household name. I said I'd rather be a big name in my household. It is that kind of information that kind of belief that if you know where you are, you know where you want to be, you pretty much have the road of how you're going to get there. Because the reverse of that is if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there.
That's right.
And you're pretty much lost.
Once you know what you stand for, then every decision you make is easy. Because you won't make a decision that goes against what you stand for. Or if you do, you'll feel like you're on the wayward road. So every decision you make should align with what you stand for. So once you know that your family is your priority, and that's what you stand for, and that's the most important thing you can do, then every decision I make should flow from that.
We have a question from Anne in Washington, D.C. Says, John, you speak to corporations. What are the steps you tell your audiences to inspire them to create and have a sense of purpose?
Well, I don't necessarily give steps to inspire. I give principles, and I tell stories to inspire. We learn best through stories. We respond to stories. We're inspired by stories. So I share stories to inspire people to then think of new things or think of old things in a different way, shift their mindset, shift their perspective, then shift their behavior, and then they're ready to take action. And I believe that's the key. So you shift your mindset, you get the behavior changed, and you really change the habit and the action. So I would say that's what I do. I inspire them through stories that then encourage them to then take action. And you know what? I often say that, you know, you can give a team a bus, but if you don't have a driver driving it, the bus doesn't move. And so it really is about you deciding to take action. So I'm only as good as, obviously, the audience. In the audience, it's the only people that are listening. Motivational speeches ultimately do not work, but people who motivate themselves, people who motivate their teams, they're the geniuses. They're the ones who make a difference. So I see my job is really to try to encourage them to be the inspirers and be the motivators. That's what my job is.
Another book of John is the No Complaining Rule. Here's an excerpt of it. It's Tuesday morning, and Hope walks into her office with puffy eyes, a swollen head, and broken heart. Unfortunately, her company, EZTech, is in worse shape than she is. The fact that their computer batteries are catching on fire are the list of their problems. Employees have been posting negative comments about management on internet blogs and for the world to see. The media is attacking the credibility of the company. Morale is at an all-time low, negativity at an all-time high, and the stock price is falling faster than the Titanic. As head of human resources, Hope is charged with finding a solution to overcome the biggest challenge in her company's history. In the process of battling her own adversity, she discovers the no complaining rule and other positive ways to have her company and herself, to save her company and herself from ruin. John, what did Hope discover in that book, perhaps other than Hope?
Well, what she found was that complaining doesn't do any good, but when we become a person, a team, an organization that focuses on solutions, then we can turn it around. It's all about perspective. You can see the complaint, or you can see the solution. You can see the challenge, or you can see the opportunity. And the no complaining rule is simple. You're not allowed to complain unless you come with one or two possible solutions. And so everyone in the company that is empowered to actually create solutions for that company, they then become a driver of the bus instead of being a passenger griping on the bus. So you empower your people and your organization to create solutions. And that requires leadership that's willing to listen to their people. It requires leadership that's open to their ideas and solutions of their people. And it requires people who are willing to contribute and be engaged in the process of building a company and organization. That's where culture comes in. The no complaining was really a great part of building a great culture.
Well said. In the last 30 seconds we have, John, what are your parting words to our audience?
My parting words are just to focus on growth this year. You know, it's 2013 is coming up, and really to just focus on growth, because businesses don't just grow and families don't just grow, but you grow. And as you grow as a person, as you grow as a leader, you then grow the people around you. A business, a company, an organization, a family can only grow in proportion to the leaders who make up that team and organization. So the most important thing you can do is set the example each day and grow you. And as you grow, you'll then grow others.
Thank you so very much for your time and wisdom, and I hope you'll consider coming back and discussing this with us at some point in the future.
I'd love to, Chris. Thanks so much.
Thank you. I hope you join me next week with my guest David Benzel to discuss your parenting style. Are you the tiger, helicopter, supplier, or hero kind of parent? So tune in to find out next Thursday at 6 p.m. East, 3 p.m. West on Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk for Business and Parenthood. Until then, seize the moment, every moment, at work and at home. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to one and all. Let's talk more next week. I'm Chris Efesiou. Thanks for listening.
Thank you again for tuning in to Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. Please join your host, Chris Efesiou, again next Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Make it an engaging week at work and at home.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.